Welcome to episode 1433 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We continue today our study of the 10th commandment that warns us against covetousness. The Apostle Paul writes something that might surprise us in Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12.
I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want.
Notice the language. I have learned to be content. Contentment is not something Paul was born with. Contentment is not something that came naturally. Contentment is something Paul learned. This is crucial. Contentment is not a feeling that arises naturally when you have enough. It is a discipline, a practice, something you cultivate. Our default state is not contentment. Our default state is comparison and coveting. We naturally look at what others have and want more. We naturally compare ourselves to others and feel like we are falling short. Contentment requires intentional effort, requires training yourself to notice what you have rather than what you do not have. Paul continues in verse 13.
I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
The apostle is not saying contentment comes through his own strength. Paul is saying contentment comes through Christ's strength. Contentment requires help from beyond ourselves. This is important because it acknowledges contentment is difficult. Contentment goes against our natural tendencies. It requires surrender to something larger than our own desires. One of the primary disciplines that cultivates contentment is gratitude. When you practice noticing what you have and being grateful for it, something shifts. Your focus moves from what is lacking to what is present. Your focus moves from comparison to appreciation. Earlier in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 6, Paul writes this.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
Rejoice. Give thanks. These are practices. These are disciplines you cultivate. When you give thanks for what you have, you affirm that what you have is good. When you rejoice, you shift your emotional state from longing to appreciation. When you practice gratitude, you train your mind to notice the good in your life. Research on gratitude shows measurable effects. People who practice gratitude show higher levels of life satisfaction, lower levels of anxiety and depression, and stronger relationships. Gratitude is not just a nice feeling. Gratitude is transformative. Founder of the Standard Oil Company, John D. Rockefeller, became one of the wealthiest men in history. He died in 1937 with a net worth of about $1.4 billion. Adjusted for inflation, that would be about $30 to $40 billion in purchasing power today. By any measure, Rockefeller had more than enough. But this titan of industry was miserable. Rockefeller suffered from chronic stress, insomnia, and health problems. His wealth did not bring contentment. Later in life, Rockefeller had a spiritual awakening. He began to practice gratitude and generosity. He began to give away his wealth. As he did so, something remarkable happened. He became happier. In his final years, Rockefeller said, "I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. I would be happier if I had never made them." Rockefeller's life illustrates something crucial. Accumulating more does not produce contentment, but practicing gratitude and generosity does. Another discipline that cultivates contentment is the practice of simplicity. When you simplify your life, when you reduce your possessions and limit your consumption, you free yourself from the constant pressure to maintain and upgrade. You free yourself from the comparison game. The desert fathers and mothers understood this. These were early Christian monks and nuns who practiced extreme simplicity. They owned almost nothing. They wore simple clothes. They ate simple food. And they reported profound peace. This was not because poverty in itself is good. This was because simplicity freed them from the endless cycle of wanting more. Simplicity allowed them to focus on what mattered: prayer, community, God. This does not mean you must live as a monk, but it does suggest that examining your possessions, questioning what you truly need, and consciously choosing simplicity can cultivate contentment. 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 and 8.
For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that.
Food and clothing. These are the basics. If you have these, you have enough. Everything else is extra. Contentment is also rooted in trust. It comes from trusting that God will provide what you need. This is difficult in a culture that teaches self-reliance. Difficult when you are taught that you must secure everything yourself. Difficult when you are taught that the only person you can count on is yourself. But continuing in Philippians 4, note what Paul writes in verse 19.
And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
God will meet your needs. This is not a promise that you will have everything you want. It is a promise that you will have what you need. Contentment comes from trusting this promise, from believing that if you focus on seeking God's kingdom, God will provide what you need. This was what Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 34.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Do not worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Trust that God will provide. This teaching is the foundation of contentment. Finally, contentment involves accepting what you cannot change. You may want certain things you cannot have. You may want a different job, a different body, a different life situation. You may want things that are simply not available to you. Contentment involves accepting these limitations and finding satisfaction within them. The Stoic philosophers understood this. They taught that some things are within your control: your choices, your effort, your attitude. And some things are not: circumstances, health, others' actions. The wise person focuses on controlling what they can and accepting what they cannot. This is not resignation. This is not giving up. This is recognizing the difference between what you can change and what you must accept. And it is finding peace within that acceptance. What practices of contentment do you need to cultivate? Where do you need to practice gratitude? Where do you need to simplify? Where do you need to trust God's provision rather than relying on your own effort? Plan 1 week of intentional contentment and see what changes. Each morning, name 3 things you are grateful for. Be specific. Do not rush. Actually notice these things. Each evening, reflect on what was provided for you that day: food, shelter, relationships, opportunities. Notice God's provision. Examine 1 area where you could simplify, 1 possession you could release, 1 expectation you could lower. Practice trusting God with 1 need rather than anxiously trying to secure it yourself. The 10th commandment forbids coveting, but contentment is more than avoiding coveting. It is actively cultivating satisfaction. Contentment is not something you achieve once. It is a discipline you practice daily, a skill you develop over time. When you practice gratitude, when you simplify, when you trust God's provision, when you accept what you cannot change, you cultivate contentment, and contentment frees you from the exhausting cycle of wanting more. Father, teach us contentment and gratitude for what we have rather than what we lack. Help us simplify our lives, free ourselves from endless wanting, and trust your provision over our own anxiety. Grant us peace within our limitations, knowing that true contentment is not resignation, but freedom from the slavery of desire. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.